All right. We are down to the third installment of our series called Behind the Sin. Okay, we are talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit. We've started this off 2 weeks ago. And last week, Pastor JD preached a powerful word about the Holy Spirit being the healer. Okay, this morning, we're going to talk about it's rather an interesting one. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as a liberator. All right, for those of you who are, you know, into production or maybe the arts, this term right here, behind the scene, might be familiar to you. But you've noticed that, you know, we spelled it differently. Instead of S-C-E-N-E, we're saying it's behind the scene. Okay, just to give us a good footing on this one, for those of you who joined us for the first time, if you're here and you love movies, most likely you're familiar with this movie right here, The Iron Man 3. Anyone who's familiar with this movie? This movie right here it can actually be considered as one of the most successful movies of all time. Okay, Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. I don't know if there's another one coming up, most likely, because it's a very successful one. But the thing with this movie is that whenever you look at or whenever you watch movies like this, at the end of the day, there's basically just one person who gets the credit for everything, and it is basically the superstar. Okay, Robert Downey Jr. I mean, that's the reality. That's the reality when you talk about movies. And for them to be able to pull out a movie that grossed $3.1 billion, okay, $3.1 billion, a lot of people are focusing on the main actor, but the truth is they have assembled together 3,310 crews just to be able to come up with this one. Okay, my point here is this one. Whenever we look at things, we always look at things in the naked eye, we always gravitate towards giving focus, okay, on the superstar. But what we don't know is that there are things or people that which are not seen that makes everything come into fruition. Yeah. And that makes that movie right there praiseworthy. And that is why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, we have been looking at the book of Acts, and you know, the book of Acts, if just like this one, in other Bible translations, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Well, it is actually the Acts of the Apostles in a sense that whenever you read the book of Acts, all chapters in the book of Acts, you would come to understand that this book in the Bible basically talks about or showcases, okay, the ministry of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I want us to understand. If you would look closely and keenly, you would come into a conclusion that this is not just the book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles. These are actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because through and through, you would come to understand it is actually the Holy Spirit in their midst that are enabling them or empowering them to do signs and wonders and miracles. Okay, who am I to believe that God can use you, the Holy Spirit can use you to cause about, you know, signs and wonders and miracles to the people around you? That is our prayer as we are looking into this series. The Holy Spirit here, if you would try to relate it to a movie, the Holy Spirit here is like a one cast crew that can actually do it all. You don't need a 3,310 people can be used by the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, it's just basically the Holy Spirit who's working in our midst. I hope that is clear. We started off this series by basically talking about the truths about the Holy Spirit. Number one, we said that the Holy Spirit is God. And I think that's very clear. The Holy Spirit is God. And the amazing thing here is this one. As much as we understand that the Holy Spirit is God, here's one truth that I want us to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that because the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit is what? He dwells in us. I don't know with you, but if you pause for a while and try to read that verse right there, it will actually floor you to think that God, who is infinite, God, who is immortal, God, who is eternal, God, who is omnipotent, basically resides in us. So the Holy Spirit in you is God in you. And I think that's very clear. So that talks about your union with God. Your union with God, because the Holy Spirit is in you. Another thing that we try to understand is this one. We said that the Holy Spirit is what? The Holy Spirit is personal. If the first truth affects our union with God, the second truth affects our communion with God. Right. Why? Because you could either grieve Him or what? Quench Him. You could either grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. So it affects your communion with God. Look at this one. If you're here this morning and you feel like that you are powerless or you don't have the power to do such great things for God, it is because there's something wrong with your communion with God. I'm not saying that you're sinning. It's just that sometimes the devil comes in and tries to distort or confuse you or cause confusion in our minds or cause fears to run rampant in our heart. Okay? So the second truth, the Holy Spirit is personal, talks about our communion, and the first one talks about our union. Now look at this one. A good understanding of those two will give us a good ground to tee off for the third one. Okay? Let me just try to explain it for a while. There's a story about a mother, okay? A mom who works as a teacher. And then one day, you know, she brought her grade 4 kid to school. But the problem is that her kid was not feeling well. The kid wasn't feeling well. He was feverish. But she still decided to bring her kid to school. So she went to her workplace. After a while, she got a call. Okay, she got a call from the principal and from the doctor of the school. And she was told, "Mom, we brought your kid to the hospital." Who are you moms? Whenever you hear something like that, it really causes alarm in you. Yeah. Right? It rattles you or it shakes you. It basically, you know, it makes you panic. So that's basically what she did. She runs straight to the hospital. And she went to the emergency room. Upon going inside the emergency room, yung mga eksena ganun, papunta siya na emergency room, doon sumabas yung doktor na kayo ko. Yung mga ganun eksena. Sikat na sikat sa movie. Pagtingin sa kanya ng doktor, "Ah, kayo po ba si Kwan? Kayo po ba si Mrs. Sanico?" Sabi niya, "Ah, yes, ako po. What happened to my child?" Sabi niya, "Your child has suffered from chlamydia pneumonia and acute viral rhinopharyngitis." Wala na, iyak na siya ng iyak. She was crying, "My son is already dead," and stuff like that. The doctor told her, "It's okay, that's just the clinical term for cough and colds." What is my point here? The deeper you know, the greater its effect on you. The deeper you know the things about God, the deeper you know the different facets about God, all the more that it makes you confident to go out there and make disciples. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is personal. And those two truths enables us to embrace the third one. The Holy Spirit gives you power. The Holy Spirit gives us power. I was thinking about this, you know, last night. If you come to understand that, you know, God, you know, the Holy Spirit giving us power, here's the first question for us. What is the power for? Have you ever thought about that? What is the power for? Now come to imagine this. Have you ever seen a superhero that doesn't have superpowers? It's just impossible. The reason why they're called superheroes, why? It's because they're given big tasks. So the reason why you are given power by God is because He is giving you a big task for which you're going to use that power. We're given big tasks by God. We're being given big responsibilities by God. And that is the very reason why He is giving us the very power, His very own power to us. You know, I stumbled upon an article. This was, I think, 3 weeks ago. I stumbled upon a group of people who unearthed, you know, several, I think these were 1920s or 1800s. They unearthed several detonators in South Africa. Okay, detonators just like this one. Anyone familiar with this one? May mga ganyan po kayo sa bahay? If you know what detonators are, detonators are used to what? To what? To detonate dynamites. Detonators are used to detonate dynamite. I haven't seen one, but this was very popular, you know, I think decades ago. And the thing with dynamites is that, you know, some of us, we have a bad notion of dynamite. We always think about dynamite fishing and stuff like that. Well, that's the bad side of it. But in the earlier days, dynamites were used to what? To blow up mountains. People would use several pieces of dynamite and they would strategically put them at the sides of the mountain and they would detonate them to what? To give way or to pave way for railroads and road construction. Now, what you need to understand is there is a spiritual parallel to that. The Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that power is the Greek word dunamis, from which we got the word dynamite. So it simply gives us a picture that as a Christian, God has given you and me the dunamis power to what? To blow up mountains of opposition from the evil one, to pave way for people to get to encounter God. God has given us those kinds of power to basically pave way, to blow up oppositions, to blow up oppressions against us and against the people around us. We need the empowerment of the Spirit if we are to blow up spiritual mountains, friends. And one of the ways or one of the avenues wherein we could use the dunamis power is when we try to liberate something. And that is what we're going to talk about here this morning. If we're going to liberate something, I don't know with you, but maybe you've seen this on movies already. You know, stories about rescues, just like this one. You know, a group of military officials would try to rescue someone from a hostage taker. And they don't just do it, you know, in a diplomatic way, because sometimes, or a lot of times, it doesn't work. It always involves what? It always involves firepower. Yeah. It always involves firepower. So meaning to say, you know, it could get quite messy, but nonetheless, it gets the job done. And that is what we're going to talk about here this morning. Look at this one. I want us to turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 16, verse 16 up until 18. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very are. Now let's talk about the power that we have as Christians. The power that we have to liberate. Let me just look at verse 1 for a while. Sorry, verse 16. It says here, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling." Now, it talks about what? It talks about a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. A slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Now, let me just talk about this girl for a while. Now, you would come to understand that this girl right here is twice enslaved. She is twice enslaved, meaning to say, she is a slave to her master. It's like she doesn't own her life. Okay, meaning to say, if her master tells her to turn to the left, she turns to the left. That's how it is. And not just that, it's also very clear from this verse that she is also a slave to a demonic spirit. All right? Now, let me just try to qualify this for a while. A lot of times, whenever we talk about demon possession, we always, you know, think about, you know, people na nagwawala, people screaming, people biting themselves, people biting their arms or stuff like that. It's not the case for this girl. That's not the case for this girl because number one, she is a fortune teller. You will not have customers if you're like that. Hello? If you're screaming and screaming and you're dirty, you don't take a bath, you will not have customers. So this person is like clean. She is a clean slave girl. Am I clear with that one? But that doesn't also undermine the fact that she is a slave to the demonic spirit. Okay, meaning that she is being possessed and influenced by a demonic spirit. Now look at this one. The slave girl had a spirit of divination. And then one of the descriptions about her is that she gained much fortune By what? By fortune telling. Sige, dito nagpahuli na kayo. Don't raise your hand. She gained much fortune money by fortune telling. Oh. The word divination here comes from the Greek word puthon. Okay? And that's where we derive the word Pythian, and that's where we derive the word python. All right? Anyone has seen a reticulated python that's very popular in the Philippines? Sino nag-aalaga ng ahas sa bahay? Divination right here was used in this text in the Greek called puthon. Okay, the writer was pertaining to a mythical creature called basically a puthon, which was what? Captured and killed by Apollos. So, history would begin to tell you, their history would begin to tell all of us that the spirit of puthon or the spirit of python then would enable a person, okay, to basically see the wisdom or basically give us the wisdom of ages. That's why she's able to fortune tell. Okay? Now, let me just hang on your seat for a while. Pag-usapan natin yan. Now, let me just ask this question for a while. Who may have seen a snake? Whenever you talk about snakes, you know, my dad would always tell me, you know, Archie, a snake is a snake. Ang ahas, Archie, ahas. I was like, okay. But you know, whenever you look at Discovery Channel, there's always a fascinating way at which a snake would what? A snake would devour their prey. They're not like crocodiles. They're not that active. They're not that, they won't attack you right away. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to coil. They coil around their snake, their prey. They coil around their prey and what? They try to restrict your breathing. Break your bones. That's how they try to what? To squeeze you until you lose your breath and then they could start eating you. And that is basically how a snake maneuvers towards its prey. And what is fascinating here, here's what I want us to understand. What is fascinating in this verse is found in its very first line. It says here, look at this one. As we were going to the place of prayer. I mean, of all times that this slave girl could show up, at all times that this spirit of divination could show up, why in the world would this girl show up when they were about to go to the place of prayer? Logic would basically begin to tell us, friends, that the devil wants to choke our prayer life. Because he knows for a fact, Christians, he knows for a fact that we are defeated once we become prayerless. That's one of the subtle ways of the devil. You feel like, man, I'm so excited to go to the service right now, and there's just things that happen in the home. There's just things that happen in the road on your way to the service that prevents you from what? Getting into a place of communion with God. You feel like, man, this time of the night, I want to have the greatest quiet time that I've ever had. And then suddenly your friend would text you and would tell you, Archie, can you go here and go there? Treat ko kumain tayo sa labas. Mukhang from God, pero baka hindi from God. Just like how a snake could coil around its prey, that's how basically the devil would try to get us out of our form, get us out of prayer. He would want to choke our prayer lives. Listen, friends, this form right here, or this stature right here, that's the most hated position of the devil. Whenever we are in that kind of posture, the devil hates it. You know why? Because it is in this posture that we are most dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. That's your dunamis power right there. Whenever you are in a place of communion with God, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 hour, I tell you what, the devil just doesn't like that. He would cause distractions. He would cause things to go against you. And I pray that we will be discerning enough to discern the works of the devil against our life. Amen. I don't know with you, but have you ever had those times when you're praying and then the devil reminds you of a certain offense? And you're praying and then the devil reminds you, the devil would try to distract you by reminding you of a certain sin that you've done in the past. That's how he works. He tries to coil our prayer life. You know, I can actually end here by telling everyone, try to become more prayerful. That's your dunamis power right there. Do not allow yourself to be hindered to go to God for prayer. Now look at this one. You know, we tried our best to look for a photo of the slave girl. I think this is the closest that we got. Parang taxi. It's the closest that we had. Look at this one. Friends, here's what I want us to understand. The slave girl did not become demon-possessed innocently. The slave girl didn't become demon-possessed innocently. It's not like she woke up one day and automatically she realized, I'm demon-possessed. Iba na yung itsura ko, iba na yung boses ko. It wasn't like that. Listen, friends, there were series of events, I believe. There were series of events in her life that she did and she didn't do that caused her to become demon-possessed. Now, look at this one. Itong topic na to pang Victory Weekend to eh. In September 11, 2001, we all know what happened. The United States of America was, you know, encountered the most tragic, you know, terrorist attack in their soil. And I have here a picture of the culprit. These are the group of people who attacked the United States of America. Friends, here's what I want us to understand. When these guys decided, okay, I don't know when September 11 is, if it's a, I don't know what day that was, if it was a Wednesday. It wasn't like they had a staff meeting on Tuesday and they said, tomorrow, Wednesday, we will attack America. It wasn't like that. You know what happened? They blended in the culture. They lived in American subdivisions. They attended American colleges. They became so active in community works in their neighborhood. They pretended that they're like, we are like one of you guys. And then when everything was ready, there, they attacked. What is my point? The devil would cause, in a subtle ways, subtle temptations in our lives would lure us one, you know, just bite one piece here, bite one piece here, bite one piece here. And after that, he's going to gather everything and get back to us. Folks, I want us to understand that the devil is a prince of darkness that guises himself as a what? As an angel of light. That's why the slave girl, when you pong isipin na madumi siya, tignan it, she wasn't like that. One of the, you know, sad realities that sometimes we, even as Christians, we open ourselves up for demonic influence. I'm not saying that you will be demon-possessed as a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But certainly, you could be influenced by the devil. Certainly, you could be influenced by Satan, for that matter. And there are just some crazy things that we do. For example, one is horror movies. I was ministering to someone. You know, Rian and I were ministering to someone. At 3 in the morning, at 2:30 in the morning, we got a call to go to a certain person because apparently the person is like, you know, demon possessed. She doesn't look normal, stuff like that. And we hurried there, arrived there at 3 in the morning. And true enough, the time we went inside, she wasn't normal. I knew that she wasn't normal because at 3 in the morning, you don't wear thick makeup. She had a very thick makeup on, and just talking to this person as a neophyte in that aspect of her life. We're just talking to her. And here's what we realized. We tried asking her, what were you doing the past how many days? I was just watching a movie marathon of horror movies. And that's basically it. Listen, let me just try to become logical here. Let me just try to be logical. At the end of watching a horror movie, what do you feel? Are you in faith? Do you feel like, man, grabe ka talaga God, sobrang galing mo? You don't feel that way. Faith is not elevated. Whenever you watch horror movie, fear is elevated. God is not glorified. We were in Bangkok last year. We knew whenever we would go to a certain place, we know what to bring home. We know what souvenirs to bring home. Kung paypay lang yan, may napangalang Bangkok, no problem. Pero kung elepante na yan na sobrang daming itsura, sobrang daming mata, tapos dinala ko sa bahay ko, alam mo ibig sabihin nun, nagdala ko ng demonyo sa bahay ko. Worst is, ipapamigay ko pa sa mga friends ko, oh, souvenir from Bangkok. E naging instrument patuloy ako ng demonyo para maglagay ng demonyo sa bahay nila. Subtle ways. You know, sometimes we feel like, my goodness, Archie, that's so funny, that's so harmless. Yes, it looks like it's harmless. Again, blending in the culture, living in subdivisions, attending college, one bite here, one bite there. I don't know, but I think a lot of us are still subscribing to this. Horoscope? Every morning, pag-open mo, ang pinakaunang hawak mo sa dyaryo, horoscope, mag-crossword puzzle ka na lang. Virgo, sa araw na to, Miyerkules, lumabas ka ng bahay, tumingin sa kaliwa. Sa kaliwa ka lang tumingin kasi andun ang swerte. Anong malay niya na one-way yung bahay, ng labas ng bahay niyo? Paglabas mo, may nasagasaan ka tuloy sa kanan. Why would I entrust my destiny into the demon? People who come out on TV and would tell us, this is what's going to happen next year, this is what's going to happen in the US, that there's going to be this calamity, there's going to be this calamity. Guess what? Why is it all bad news? Have you ever thought about that? Why is it all about calamity? You know why? Because the devil can only predict what he's going to do. That's his plan. And he's just sharing and bearing his plan to us. Tayo naman, oh, grabe talaga. Friends, as Christians, do you realize that Jesus endorses doctors? He's not against clinical, you going to clinics. He's not against doctors. He's not against you having a surgery. But certainly, I haven't read in the New Testament Jesus endorsing faith healers. I haven't encountered Jesus endorsing what? Quack doctors. I haven't encountered in the scripture Jesus endorsing albulario. Listen, friends, a few weeks ago, I've told you about the power of the laying out of hands. You don't want other people to lay hands on you if they're not Christians. Do not open yourself up for demonic influences. Pag wala po kayong pang-clinic, manami tayong dito, we can help you out. I know a lot of doctors. We have med rep people here. We are more than willing to help you. Huwag na kayong pumunta sa spiritista. You go to CQR to hit the what? To hit the sea, to hit the beach. Not to buy. Kung ikaw walang love life pa ngayon, huwag kang bumili sa CQR ng mga potion na love potion. Try what? Try basically trusting God for this aspect of your life. I don't know why, you know, our culture is really, there's so many things engraved in our culture. Spirit of the coin, spirit of the glass. Tapos nag-move yung glass. Ah, bakit nag-move? Natakot ka tuloy. Ba't andun ka? Oh, there's no class tomorrow. Let's go ghost hunting. My goodness. Why would you do that? Have you ever thought about that? We're so curious with the mystical world. We're so curious whenever we talk about the supernatural. People are like that. Guess what? If you want to be curious about the supernatural, study the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try studying something else. That's not meant for your finite mind to understand. I know of someone who went to the library, took out an encyclopedia of angels and demons, tried to study, tried to know the names. Right after going outside of the library, he was attacked by the devil. I'm not exaggerating by saying attack. That very evening, a devil went on his chest, jumped on him, and tried to kill him for that matter. Hindi ko nasasabihin sino yun. Dito lang yan. Pahula, palm reading. Ah, hula ko. Kinain mo kanina yung lunch, paksiw. You know, this is not me making this up, friends. Look at this one. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 to 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You know, we are, you know, as Filipinos, as people in general, we love knowing what's down the road for us. We love trying to figure out. That's why we resorted to horoscope, astrology. You know, these are demonic guidance system for us. The Bible says, it's very clear. Look at this one. John chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't just guide you. He guides you to the truth for you to know the truth. The devil will guide you, but it might not lead you to the truth. So at the end of the day, we don't subscribe to anything else. We subscribe to God. We subscribe to the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. Look at this one. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 3. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub? Beelzebub right here is the God of the Philistines. In the New Testament, he's called Beelzebub, which pertains to Satan himself. So at the end of the day, it's either you inquire of God or you inquire of Satan. This girl, at a certain point of her life, or guess what? At a certain point of her parents' life, or her household, they might have been doing something that cracked open something for her to be influenced and possessed by the demon. And that's basically what happened to her. The next verse here, verse 17, it says, she followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God." The slave girl, look at this one. "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having been greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very hour. Look at this one. Look at this. In verse 17, a few more verses and we're going to end. Verse 17, she followed Paul and asked, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Here's my question for everyone. Is there something wrong with what she said? Look at her statement. This is the devil telling everyone, "Ladies and gentlemen, here is Paul and Silas. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Is there something wrong with this one? Come on. Is this the truth? This is the truth. So why in the world is Paul annoyed with the devil if the devil is saying the truth? It's very simple. Here's what I want us to understand. You don't get the devil's endorsement for your divine assignments. Because number one, you cannot trust the devil. You don't want to trust Satan. You don't want to trust whatever, you know, whatever seemingly good things that they're doing to you. Secondly, I want us to understand that this was like a church planting season. This was like, just imagine with me for a while. Here's Paul and Silas walking, and here's what she's doing. Magsasalita pala si Paul. Alam niyo ba si Jesus, sumisigaw siya, "These guys are the servant of the Most High God." For how many days she has been doing that? And look at this one. Nakakainis rin yan minsan yung nagsasalita ka tapos sumasabat. Kaya nga sabi sa Bible, annoyed na annoyed si Paul. And then look at this one. The thing is that this was a church planting period. Now, because it was a church planting period and she is there following Paul and Silas, proclaiming and stuff like that, what would people think? They would think that this girl is what? This girl is a part of Paul's team and her power is the same power as that of Paul's. You see how the devil works. He would try to lure people. Friends, listen. Your Bible doesn't talk about endorsing the gospel. The gospel is not to be endorsed. The gospel is to be preached. The gospel is to be proclaimed. Don't rely on anything that the world will offer you to basically advance yourself or stuff like that. Paul and Silas were planning a church and here she is. These guys, please believe this too. They are the servant of the Most High God. Tapos pag umalis si Paul and Silas, people would associate her with the group. What then is she going to do now? She's going to deceive everyone. And guess what? There will be more money. There will be more money. Why? Because they affiliate her with Paul and Silas. With the Jesus of Paul and Silas. The devil would blend in. The devil would live in our vicinity. The devil would try to do the things that we're doing. He would do all of these works just to be able to deceive us. You just cannot trust the devil. Gene Dixon right here. You know, for our older folks, some of you might know this person. Can you believe that this person has been an advisor to so many presidents? She has been an advisor to so many presidents because she was a fortune teller. She was a fortune teller. You know, she would do this. And guess what? She calls herself a Christian. But the method at which she said she got the power was that one day, she woke up and there was a snake under her bed. And this snake crawled up her bed and looked at her in the eyes. And upon looking at the eyes of the snake gave her the wisdom of ages. And people tried subscribing to whatever she's saying. Again, she was the one who predicted the assassination of John Kennedy. All the bad things. Why? Because it is the devil's work. No wonder she knows it. Acts chapter 16, verse 18. I like this. This is basically my point here this morning. Look at this one. It says here, "And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed." Can everybody say annoyed? Friends, listen. It is biblical to be annoyed with the devil. Do not pet the devil in your life. Do not be so kind to the devil. Be annoyed. Be angry with the devil. It says here, he was greatly annoyed. And here's what he said. He turned and said to the Spirit, looking at the girl in the eye, here's what Paul said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Bible says it came out of her at that very hour. Right there and then, the Spirit came out. There's your dunamis power right there. Your first dunamis power is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have mountains of opposition. You have mountains of oppression. There's your power right there. That the name of Jesus Christ, "I command you, stay away from my path. I command you, turn, you know, I command you to go out of this woman." At the end of the day, hindi po tayo ang bida. Tama. At the end of the day, it's basically the name of Jesus Christ, who is the what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I told you about so many things, about horoscope. I do not intend, in this preaching, I am not highlighting the demon. I am not highlighting the devil. I am highlighting the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you about how He works in us in a subtle way, but I'm telling us also the power that we have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is in our disposal, friends. You know the funny thing here? Look at this one. Here's what happened. The slave girl was what? The slave girl was liberated. The slave girl was liberated. And because of that, here's what happened. You know, when you stand up for Christ, when you stand up for Jesus, it could be true that, you know, the devil will try to retaliate against you. But we don't have to fear his retaliation. Look at this one. Acts chapter 16, verse 90 to 24. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them. The crowd basically bullied Paul and Silas. They beat them up. And here's what happened. And the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave them orders to beat them with rods. All because they've liberated someone. Now look at this one. And when they had inflicted many blows, take note, many blows at the hands of the Roman people upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. What happened to them? Look at this one. They were drugged. They were drugged. They were what? Their clothes were torn. They were beaten up with rods. People attacked them. They were thrown into prison because of what? Because of the first verse. Can you go to the next slide? Because of the next slide. Verse 19. In Acts 16, 19. Can you go? It's because the hope of their gain was gone. Haven't you realized how much these two things is tied up? Greed and money and the devil. That is what we're going to talk about in our next series next month. You don't want to miss that. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about faith and finance. We're going to talk about money and how the devil has distorted our view of finance. That money has become our God. All because their hope of gain was gone. They beat up Paul and Silas. In verse 25 to 27, I'm going to end with this. Here's what happened to them. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Just imagine with me for a while. Imagine a prison cell that doesn't have any light. No electricity. It was so dark. And then there were so many. The smell was so stingy. And Paul and Silas were there in one cell. And here's what they were doing. They were praying and they were singing hymns. And the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, look at this one. The Bible says, suddenly, can everybody say suddenly? Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were unfastened. Our first dunamis power is the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, our second dunamis power right here is prayer and praise. Instead of licking their wound, instead of complaining to God. Di ba sometimes when we pray to God, nagko-complain pa tayo? Lord, sikwan kasi ganang tigas ng ulo niya. Lord, hindi niya kasi ako naiintindihan. Lord, ganun tayo mag-pray minsan. Pero guess what? Pag nagpe-praise tayo, we don't have any choice but to give Him glory, to be thankful amidst our situation. And that is a powerful thing, my friend. Friends, listen. If you keep praising God, if you keep praising God, you do two things. You push back and you block. You push back the agenda of the devil and you block yourself against the attack of the evil one. I hope when we come to church, we don't just come here for the worship. two praise, two worship songs, mamaya na tayo pumasok. Pagka-worship song na para ma-worship natin si God. Praising God is equally important. It brings us into a position wherein we get to understand what we have, we get to understand who we are, we get to understand the future of the devil. We push back and then we block the schemes of the devil against us. It gives us no room to complain. It instead magnifies the great things that God has done for us. Amen. You know what the amazing thing here is? This is just, we're talking about like 6 verses in the Bible. But it talks about the power of Jesus Christ. Several people were liberated. The slave girl was liberated from her masters. Why? Kasi wala na silang pagkakakitaan sa kanya. The slave girl was what? Liberated from the devil. Paul and Silas were liberated. Not just that, the Bible says every chains were unfastened. The other prisoners were liberated. But you know what's the bigger story here? The jailer, when we saw everything that happened, he took his sword. He said, I want to kill myself. Hips. Now again, Paul went to him and preached the gospel to him. At the end of it, the jailer and his entire household were liberated. They receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what will happen in our midst. This is what we're going to witness if we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.